of what, why we do this. You want to be in a place where you want to win. That's the whole goal of what, why we do this. You want to hoist that Stanley Cup. This team has shown that they can do it. You know, I'm lucky enough to now hopefully bring another piece in to help bring it back here. You know, I think we put the most pressure on ourselves as hockey players. That's how we play the game. We want to win every single night. You want to win every battle. You want to win anything you can all the time. You know, like I said before, this team has, since it's entered the league, really pushed to, you know, push the boundaries and be that winning team. And yeah, that's where I want to be. I want to be in a winning situation.
Mitch Marner in Vegas, sign and trade. And the Leafs came away with something in the deal, but Marner leaves and starts the next chapter in his career. And Vegas operates as a team. I am endlessly jealous of the way that they do things, how aggressive they are. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Jeremy White, Sneaky Joe DiBiase here for another hour with you, and then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show at 10 o'clock. It's a getaway day. Long weekend for many of you out there. Be safe. Be responsible with fireworks and stuff like that. Have a good time. Joining us on the Western Hotline is Michael DeStefano. Covers the Leafs. Locked on Leafs, TSN Radio 1050 as well, and joining us right now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Not too bad. How's the post-Marner life? I feel like the Marner, you know, he'd had a reputation for letting down in the playoffs. Where would you place the line on the split? Percentage of fans that wanted him back versus accepted he was going to go versus are glad he's gone. A hometown kid who dreamed of playing for the Leafs and succeeding for the Leafs, and of course it's over now. So where does everybody kind of fall in?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Mitch Marner, he's a very talented player. I think everybody in Toronto knows that. Everyone who watches the game of hockey knows that Mitch Marner is an uber-talented player, and he's going to go off and he's going to do good things in Vegas. I mean, the guy had 100 points this year for the first time in his career. He'd been, you know, scratching the surface of 100, finally broke through that threshold this season. But as you noted, it's the postseason failures that really is what kind of has always stuck in the back of the minds of a lot of Leaf fans. So there's a lot of people who just wanted to see change of some kind in Toronto. Like, you get 9 years of this core of this Marner, Matthews, Nylander group, and it's 9 years of failure. They made the postseason every year, but only had two playoff series victories. And both of them, they won round one and then didn't really give much of a fight in round two. So it really, really, really has, set a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths here. If I'm giving out percentages, I think more people are glad he's gone, I guess you could say. Not just that he's gone, but that there is change. Like, I would say probably 75% of the people here in Toronto are like, okay, we needed change. It was Marner's turn just because his contract was due. You know, the Leafs didn't have to have any say, or the player didn't really have any say. It was just time to allow him to go via free agency and go on to possibly greener pastures. We'll see what happens with him. But I would say probably 75% of the people here, glad that he's gone. But there is a section of Leaf fans, for sure, that believe that the Leafs made a bad mistake, that they believe that how could you possibly let a 100-point Selke candidate walk out the door, and really all you get in return is Nicolas Watt. Good player, you know, he'll be a good depth piece for the Maple Leafs, but he's no Mitch Marner, and you'd be silly to think that he is. And even they made a trade for Matias Michelli out of Utah. He's also not going to be Mitch Marner. They're not going to replace Mitch Marner. It's just not possible. So there are a lot of people that look at it and say, how does this team get better? How do they possibly get over the hump? They could barely win playoff series with that guy in their lineup. How could they possibly get it done without him? So there is definitely a split, but I would say Leafs Nation probably more so on the, okay, fresh start, new identity type of wave, and welcome the change.
Is there a frustration that he ends up walking for, you mentioned they get Wah back in the sign and trade, but that they didn't move on this earlier or tried to move him last summer, two summers ago, during the year? Although there are reports that, or rumors that maybe they did try to move him at the deadline and get something substantial back in return?
Yeah. Yeah, like there was a report that came out last summer, and somehow Vegas has always been involved in these deals, and lo and behold, that's where he ends up. But last summer there was a report that there was some interest in Marner maybe wanting to go to Vegas, so they explored that, and Vegas was reportedly unwilling to give up Shea Theodore. So those talks kind of stalled out, and then it got revisited again in the middle of the season around the trade deadline, where it became apparent that Marner wanted to take this thing to the distance, was unwilling to sign an extension, and you know, Brad Treliving wanted to try and get something out of it, and there was that reported three-way trade with Carolina and Rantanen coming to Toronto and signing an extension here, Marner going to Vegas, doing his extension, and then we don't know what was supposed to go to Carolina. That part of the trade never got materialized, so that trade fell through. So there were multiple times where this team had tried to move Marner or approach Marner about it, but you know, he has a full no move clause, full no trade, full no move. So whatever deal the Maple Leafs wanted to do for him, he had to sign off on it. And unfortunately, you know, life happens, and his wife was about 6-7 months pregnant at the time of the trade deadline, and I'm sure most people could sympathize with the fact that he didn't want to pick up and leave in the middle of the season, knowing that, you know, his wife was a couple of months away. Probably wanted to be close to family for when that happened. And now that, you know, the baby's here, wife is okay, they look forward and say, hey, we can start a new life in Vegas. Let's sign a nice 8-year contract, get that sign and trade done, and you know, move on and kind of turn the page on Toronto and start a new life in Vegas.
Speaking with Michael DeStefano, TSN 1050 on the Leafs. Is there, Joe, how many times have we flirted with this idea? Like the Leafs and the Bills as kindred spirits right now, really, really good and hitting their head on the same thing every time. Whether it used to be the first round for the Leafs, and then it got to be the second round. And here they are, you know, Florida is a dynasty. They took Florida 7 games, you know, like,
yeah,
they had a lead in game 3 up 2 games to none.
That's like, what I was going
to
say.
Am I supposed to treat them like they need huge changes, or is it just modest tinkering? In this case, like, Marner is the Diggs move. Like, some will be big ones, but for the most part, things should be viewed as pretty good.
Yeah, it's interesting. They certainly did take Florida to the distance. It took them to 7 games. If you look at it in a vacuum, no other team was able to do that. So you can look at it and say, hey, Toronto might be, you know, the next best team in the NHL because they took the standard 2-7 games. They had them on the ropes up 2-0 and up 3-1 in the third period in game 3, had a chance to go up 3-0 in overtime. Yeah, you can look at all that. But at the end of the day, they still lost. And when you look at the performance of the Maple Leafs in games 5 and 7 specifically on home ice, in which they got booed off their ice on both of those games, you could see how far they actually are from the Florida Panthers. Like, once Florida kind of figured things out, it was game over. They absolutely ran the show in that series, winning, you know, the last, the last few games there, they just absolutely ran show. And I think that's kind of what sticks in your head. Not as much, you know, when the Leafs up 2-0, up 3-1 in game 3, chance to take the lead. That seems like so long ago. What lives in the back of your mind was, holy cow, they got absolutely jobbed on home ice in game 5, lost 6-1, and then did the exact same thing in game 7 and lost 6-1 to the Florida Panthers. This team's not relatively close. There's more than just tinkering to be done. And what Brad Treliving said in his end of season press conference is, you know, you can have all the skill in the world, but look, at the end of the day, this team probably needs a bit of a DNA change. And Marner is a big part of this team's DNA. So by moving on from him, that's kind of the start of that. Now, they brought back John Tavares, so they still have 3 of those big 4, core 4 players. So can you really change the DNA of your team by moving out just one guy? Well, I guess we'll see. And there's still the rest of the summer to figure out what else they do with that roster. It could be a couple more players. You know, the trade market could be lively. We're hearing throughout the rest of the summer, maybe a couple of guys end up out the door. And at the end of the day, there will be 3, 4, 5 players that we see turned over from last year that could potentially move forward in a changing this team's DNA.
Is there any residual anger towards Vegas for potentially tampering with Marner here for a long time?
Within the fan base?
Yeah. Because you said everyone's kind of accepted or maybe even is happy he's gone. And they end up getting Wah back, maybe in part so that there isn't, any further, process there. But still, Jeremy in the beginning there is how Vegas does things, they're so aggressive. And maybe sometimes that's so aggressive is that everyone tampers to some extent, but it does feel like Vegas maybe goes further than every other team does.
Well, I guess there's a little bit of that, especially when you listen to Mitch Marner's introductory press conference. And, he was chatting with Mark Stone, when they were at, and Chase Theodore, when they were at the Four Nations Cup, just kind of picking their brain, hey, how's Vegas? It might be a landing spot this summer. And they had glowing things to say. And then, even this summer when he was debating, all right, what do I do? And he was asking Ryan Reeves and Max Pacioretty, his current Leaf teammates, hey, what's Vegas like? How'd you like the community, the school systems, and all that? And they had nothing but good things to say, apparently. I don't get all up in arms about the tampering myself. Sure, there's a segment of fans who obviously don't like it and would love to see some sort of repercussions. Apparently the league is looking to make an example of some team, but we're not naive. This stuff is happening all the time, and good on the Leafs for extorting Vegas and basically being give us a good player and we won't say anything and this can kind of go away unless the league does something, but we won't file for tampering charges. This happens all the time, Gally. We know that. So there's nothing for me to be really upset about, regardless if, Vegas was in there getting in his ear. I think Marner, for the last year or two, even he said in his intro press conference, has been kind of eyeing Vegas. So whether they had to put the bug in his ear or not, I think that he was gearing up to go there.
Quickly before we let you go, so the Blue Jays 3 wins in a row against the Yankees and are now tied for first in the AL East. How stunning is this season so far for them?
If you would have told me back on May 1st that we'd be sitting here coming off Canada Day weekend, heading into July 4th weekend, and the Blue Jays were going to be atop of the AL East standings with the Yankees, I would have said, no, you're nuts. Absolutely nuts. It was a team that could not hit. The power numbers weren't there. They were dead last in home runs in the first month of the league. Their runners in scoring position, they weren't able to get guys across the plate. And, the pitching was decent but inconsistent. The bullpen, was starting to kind of get worked on and was wearing thin. And all of a sudden, they have been world beaters. And I think it was May 28th, the Blue Jays were 8 games back at the Yankees. And on that day, Bo Bichette, the game was tied 0-0. They're in Texas. Bo Bichette hits a pinch hit ninth inning home run. And since then, they've been pretty well the best team in baseball, best offense in baseball. I think they're 21-10 since. They've erased that 8-game lead. You got Alejandro Kirk looking like his old self again, all-star. He's hitting the ball all over the place. You got this Addison Barger kid who's kind of come out of nowhere. I'm sure people in Buffalo have been watching him for the last couple of years with the Bisons, but he's really making a statement up here. A guy like Ernie Clement hitting. You're having a big resurgence from George Springer. I haven't even mentioned Vlad Guerrero Jr., the $500 million man, having another great season himself. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and it's been a tough couple of years for a lot of Jays fans. It's been tough summers, that's for sure. But, this year, just what they've been able to do, this turnaround over the course of the last month, it's been very exciting. And I think a lot of people here in Toronto are really excited to see what the rest of the summer brings for them.
Thanks very much, Mike. We'll talk in the future.
No Jake Paul talk, huh?
I'll text you about it. We're both big boxing guys.
Go for it. What do you want?
He got ranked yesterday, so he's now eligible for title shots, which I think, Mike, means he's entering. You don't think he's going to fight real boxers now?
Who has he fought to earn that ranking? Nobody.
He's fought former UFC guys.
Former UFC guys and 50-year-old former pro boxers. The guy behind him, this American kid, he's 20-0 with 20 knockouts. How could you possibly have any credibility if that's what your ranking system was? We'll get into it later, Joe.
Yeah. We will. Farces, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that is the word. He's ranked 14th, though. I'm not going to go too up in arms about it, I guess.
Yeah.
If they ranked him in the top five or something, then I would be, losing my mind probably.
That'd be ridiculous. But shout out to my boy, Lucas Body, right across the border from you guys, Niagara Falls kid, ranked in the top five for his category in the new ranking. So shout out to him. Hopefully he can get a title fight soon.
Cool.
Very nice.
Thanks, Mike. We'll talk soon.
See you guys.
Michael, the 7-0 TSN 1050 and Locked On Leafs. Get a call in here. Curtis in Niagara Falls has been waiting very patiently. Sorry, Curtis, to keep you waiting. Curtis, good morning.
Yeah, no problem. How you guys doing?
Good.
I was remembering, and then when I was on hold, I started thinking of another one. But the Saints gave up their entire draft for Ricky Williams.
Yeah, and more. It was that draft and like a future pick as well. Yeah, there's a lot.
It was a total of 9 players. But the one thing I remember about that, I don't know if it was on Sports Illustrated, ESPN, whatever, but they posed. It was Mike Ditka and Ricky Williams in a bridal gown.
Yeah, it was.
And then back, it was like in the 70s, 71, something like that, the Redskins and the Rams had this huge, well, back then they were Redskins, had this huge trade. And I believe the coach went from L.A. to Washington, and oh, my God, I don't know how many players it was, but that was where it planted the seeds for the over-the-hill game with the Redskins.
The plant the seeds for the what?
The over the hill game. I don't know if you guys remember that. That was their big defensive team, and they called them the over hill gang. But that's they got. Oh my god, I remember that. Jack Pardee. They actually traded and got. That's how the Washington team got George Allen as their coach.
Gotcha. Thanks, Curtis. What you're thinking of the picture of Ditka and Ricky Williams is ESPN the magazine. Do you remember ESPN the magazine?
No, not really.
I got ESPN the magazine. I was a early subscriber and got it for years.
It is defunct now, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I don't think they are still.
It was fine. It was a competitor to Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
It was fine. The sports magazine.
I never really Sports Illustrated for kids. I had
that,
but like that was kind of it. Like never really was into. I think they were – Twitter existed for me like high school on.
Yeah.
So by the time I would be like ready to – let me get a magazine subscription. Like I got Twitter at that point.
Yeah, everything's online.
Everything's online at that point. So I never really vied into those waters, sports magazines. They're all gone now.
Joe Kelly producing. I need instant trivia, if you would. I'm going to have all three of you – this is a different format for instant trivia today. You ever seen the game show Name That Tune?
Yes.
Where you say, I can name that tune in 3 notes, I can name that tune in 2 notes, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
So you guys can all pick. I'll give you 2 minutes.
Okay.
Who can name the most members of the 3,000 strikeout club that Clayton Kershaw joined last night?
Oh, man.
There are 20. There are 20 3,000 strikeout pitchers. Highest bidder will go for it, and you win by getting your number. How many of the 3,000 strikeout club members can you name?
3,000 strikeout club.
Yep. There are 20. Not exactly, let's just put it this way. It doesn't skew well for you young guys. But
I can't imagine that it would.
But that's the game.
All right. I got Nolan Ryan.
Whoa. Bid.
Oh.
You're bidding a number.
Oh.
And then one person goes.
Okay, I see.
You can all get Nolan Ryan. Mm. So what's your number? How many can you get?
Out of 20, I bet I could get 7.
7. Anyone want to try and get 8?
I don't think I could get 8. I'm going to be honest.
I'm not sure I'll get there, but once we start, I might rev up. I'll go with 8 just to go 8. Over the top.
Owen wants 8. You want to go for 9?
I'm going to bet he can't get all to right. 8 more than I'm going to bet that I
That's
can get to 9.
Name probably a very good those strikeout club members. All right, Owen, you got Nolan Ryan. That's all correct. Right. 1.
Randy Johnson.
2.
Justin Verlander.
3.
Max Scherzer.
4. It's gotta be on. Yes. 4. Yep. Ooh. No, I'm just, I guess you got to find him and delete him. Yep.
Did he get there like last night?
4. No, Max Scherzer's got 3,419.
CC Sabathia.
Correct. 3,093. 5.
Oh, man. This might get tough.
How many is he at?
He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, you got a long way to go there.
I know.
There are long way to go, buddy. Four more.
You got a lot of gettable guys left.
Greg Maddux?
Correct.
Woo.
6.
Glad I'm not playing this
Clayton
game.
Kershaw became the 20th member of the 3,000 strikeout club last night.
Oh.
You need 3 more. I mean,
the first name I wrote down on my list.
Roger Clemens.
There you go. 7.
Roger Clemens.
2 more.
Oh, we're close. I've got to get this now.
You could definitely get there.
There's one name I'm surprised he hasn't gotten yet.
I'm sure there's somebody obvious that I'm not getting to.
I mean, does he have the number one guy?
Yes.
He does? Okay.
He has 1, 2, 3 on strikeouts.
Okay, so he's got the top 3. Okay.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are available, and guys that are at the bottom are available. Need 2 more.
Steve. Ooh, what's the guy's name? Carlton?
Yeah.
Steve Carlton?
Yes.
Okay.
Carlton. Right. I wouldn't have gotten that in a million years.
He's got eight. 1 more.
There's some sort of genetic thing happening here with my dad's former baseball trivia.
Okay.
Steve Carlton.
I won't give a hint. I won't give a hint. There's no hints allowed.
So Verlander?
No.
Did I say him
already?
You said Verlander.
You got him, yeah.
All right.
You need 1 more.
Mm.
3,000 strikeout club members.
Oh, man.
Steve Carlton retired 38 years ago.
I don't know where that came from. What? I don't know.
Pitched in 1965.
Ooh.
No, we're not gonna
wait, we got an ooh over there.
Oh, what's the guy's name? I got a... Oh, come on.
What's the team you're thinking of?
I'm thinking of a Dodger here, I think. Don Sutton?
Wow, look at this kid go. Don't stop now. That's 9.
All right.
Don Sutton.
I've done it.
What? Don Sutton?
I don't know if I'm going to get it.
You're like Will Ferrell in Old School right there, right? Like, I blacked out.
Seriously, this is like if I went 6 under golfing, I wouldn't even know.
I mean, there are at least
1972 All-Star Don Sutton.
3 other names I would expect you to get.
Man, who am I missing?
You already got it?
Yeah.
Owen wins. Team up now. What do you got?
The first name I wrote down was Pedro Martinez.
Correct. Oh, yeah. Pedro.
Come on.
Was the first name I wrote down.
Red Sox. I grew up a Red Sox fan.
That's the one I was saying. I thought you'd get him because of the Red Sox. I wrote down a couple old timers.
Yep.
Cy Young.
No.
Otis Wagner.
No.
Okay, I don't know.
Wow. You just thought old players?
I started just naming players.
That's
that
a good.
Like
that's kind of where I went. I got lucky.
And Honus Wagner plays second base.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, they were all pitching back then.
Yeah, he's a right fielder, shortstop, first baseman.
You never pitched?
Not at 3,000 strikeouts.
Okay.
I mean, I can't make fun of you for that. It's like you knew that.
Right. No, I just knew he played baseball.
You didn't know something from the 20s,
1800s.
You want some other names here?
Oh.
There's at least 2 more I feel like are super gettable for guys your age.
Roy Halladay?
No.
This is not our age, but isn't Walter Johnson?
That is correct.
Going to be right. That's the old-timer I really needed
there's
there.
There's a couple more old-timers left.
Ooh, Fergie? Is Fergie Jenkins on here?
Look at you with Fergie. Yes.
Former Bison Fergie Jenkins.
Bang!
He said more our era, and then we picked guys from 1920 and 1960.
Put it this way, like when they achieved the feat, one of them is 2006, and one in 2008.
Okay, so never mind. I was going to guess Felix Hernandez, but that would have been more recent. 2006 and 2008. Is there another Red Sox on the list?
Another Red Sox. There sure is.
Another Red Sox. Oh, who am I?
Another
04?
Red Sock.
Whoa.
Curt Schilling.
Yeah,
Curt Schilling. All right.
08, Yankee?
No.
Not like Andy Pettit or something?
Nope.
I'm like tapped out.
Members of the 3,000 Strikeout Club. This guy's in broadcasting, and he's great at it.
I don't really watch baseball. Barb broadcasting.
He's awesome. I think he's awesome.
He's great?
Yep. He's a great pitcher.
What network?
I don't know.
Not helpful.
I'm not.
ESPN? ESPN, probably.
My brain's melted
ESPN,
out of my ears.
ESPN doesn't have baseball anymore.
He pitched for the Braves. Yeah. The Braves had three amazing pitchers.
Listen, we're heading into July 4th weekend. It's basically a Friday, 9:30. Braves pitching from the early 2000s is not something that is...
This is more of the late 90s.
Front of mind. Late 90s? I don't have it. You said Maddux?
You said Maddux.
Is it...
It's not Glavin.
Braves. John Schmoltz?
Yeah, John Schmoltz.
All right.
The others that you did not get, Burt Blyleven, Tom Seaver, Gaylord Perry, Phil Niekro, and Bob Gibson.
Phil Niekro. Wow. I could have got that because I discovered him recently.
Yeah?
He was a knuckleballer.
Yeah.
3,000 strikeout club.
The reason he came up is because there's a photo of Phil Niekro that me and my brother were passing back and forth that you can't believe this person was a professional baseball player.
Yeah.
Is there a
sport? Because he was 45, but he looks like this is not a Tom Brady. This is the photo. This is not a Tom Brady 45.
No, absolutely not.
This man looks like he is 65 years old, and he's out there throwing heat. Not throwing heat. He's throwing 50-mile-per-hour knuckleballs, actually.
There's no sport I love watching more than those guys, than baseball for just the looks.
You know what I'd like you to look up? I'd like you to look up Charlie Huff.
Oh.
Charlie Huff Marlins.
Look Charlie up, Huff Marlins.
Go ahead and look that up. H-O-U-G-H.
Okay,
Charlie
already,
Huff.
I was going to say, I already spelled it wrong.
H-O-U-G-H. Charlie Huff Marlins.
I mean, get out of here.
He's the oldest man ever on a baseball diamond.
This is a little league dad that snuck out onto the field. This is not.
What else he looks like? He looks like the pitcher in major league.
Look at
this.
What is this windup that he's doing?
His arm looks like it. I can't even. Wow. There's a picture of him I've got on here when he was playing for the Marlins and then throwing out a ceremonial pitch for the Marlins.
Like in the same year. It was the same year.
Exactly. It looks the same.
Charlie Huff. I think he started their first ever game because I think I watched that. I think it was Charlie Huff.
Have we lost the time, the old pitcher that's just still throwing it out there even though he's not in the best shape? Is that gone? Or are there anyone there's no one left?
The Jay Scherzer's kind of at this point, isn't he? He's debilitated. He's been barely throwing anymore.
These guys look like they are 50, though. Yeah. Scherzer, you know.
He's a little. He's 40. He's 40.
I mean, Verlander pitched forever.
Verlander is still pitching, isn't
right?
He?
Verlander is pitching forever.
The Giants, I think I saw.
He's 42
the other day.
Yeah.
All right, we are way late to a break. We're gonna get a break in when we get back. A bit of a setback in the world of Buffalo soccer and some other sad news from the soccer world as well.
The upside is very clearly there. They added a lot of defensive talent. Drake May is very talented. If Stephon Diggs is healthy, he has the number one receiver. The offensive line should be improved. The offensive coordinator should be improved. The coach actually knows what a coach is supposed to be doing on different days. That's important. So, I mean, the upside is definitely there. I think a 7-10 or something is more likely than them being really in the wild card hunt. But I think the upside is stronger than Miami's, like I said.
Aaron Schatz on the Patriots. There you go. Joining Mike Schoeb and the Bulldog. Patriots are interesting this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins are... I don't know. I feel like the Patriots...
I heard Mina Kimes on them signing Darren Waller this week, that they are leaning into the bit. Which is that they are
soft.
Not physical enough to play in January. They are soft. And then they added a tight end who doesn't block. In replacing a tight end that you could throw at any position.
Yeah.
Like Jonnu Smith, you could play at fullback and you could move him around and block a little bit. And they went the opposite with that.
Some soccer news in a minute. I want to get you this because this is one of my own personal things I like to bring up. Day three of, hey, did you see the players on the NFL Top 100?
I did not.
Okay. Great job, NFL. The signature piece of your offseason that you used to get conversation on every single Monday with 10 new players that's now going two at a time for 45 days. No one even knows it's happening. Numbers 95 and 96 got announced yesterday. And 96, Lavonte David, linebacker, Bucks. Okay. Number 95, Josh Sweat, Super Bowl hero now with the Arizona Cardinals. That's it. All right, cool. Thanks. Tomorrow, 94 and 93. Oh, sorry, today, 94 and 93. Will they take July 4th off? Who knows? It's actually the first example of, boy, diluting their product is really bad. This is the first proof of that.
It's because they just went too far with it. I think if they had done five at a time, they would have been fine. You could have done five instead of 10.
You need
two is just, it's extreme.
You will know when a bill hits the list because the Bills will tweet it out. That's pretty much how it's going to work. That's
yeah.
It. Also, ESPN, we teased earlier, Benjamin Solak has a cool little project.
Yeah.
The best player taken at every single draft position.
Right.
Number one, number two, number three, number four, number 238. The best number one of all time. The best number 12 of all time. Mm-hmm. The best number 152 of all time. And two Bills, current Bills, make the list.
Yeah.
Khalil Shakir and Christian Benford are the best ever selected where they were picked, which just basically means, you know, with like the 134th pick, not a lot comes out of that. Khalil Shakir is the best ever.
Right. With really one good season.
Yep.
He already is the best player ever in that position.
And Benford's the best at his. The controversy, it's not much of a controversy, is Peyton Manning's the best number one of all time. Okay. I get that. That makes sense.
Yep.
Shocker. Tom Brady's the best 199th pick of all time.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought, number seven, Josh Allen. Is Josh the best number seven of all time?
I asked you how many Bills will be on this list, and your first, and it was like, well, Josh is number seven.
Yeah, it should be number seven. I can't think of a number seven that would be
uh-huh.
thought of to be better. Mahomes is on the list at the best number 10 of all time.
Yeah.
Josh is not the best seventh overall selection.
No, he's not. In favor of a running back.
Adrian Peterson. Honorable mention on this list, Mike Evans.
For number seven overall?
Yeah. Mike Evans, not too shabby.
That's not bad. Allen, though, under Peterson, like,
I guess
what's the argument is that it's I'm not hyper focusing on the quarterback value,
right? And it's defendable because you would just say like Peterson's a Hall of Famer and Allen's probably a Hall of Famer. But Peterson is one.
Peterson is, he will be as soon as he's eligible, right?
Who has had, here's another way to put it. I almost wonder if Peterson wasn't the pick, could he have picked Mike Evans?
I think the one thing that he cited as why he put Peterson in there, over Allen at least, is that he's got a full career and they have both won MVP.
Fair.
And neither have made it to a Super Bowl.
Evans has never won the MVP, but in terms of long-term consistent excellence,
1,000 yards every season, he's is first, still unbelievable.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, is he not?
He will be, yes. Yeah. He should be. I still would want to give the edge to the quarterback.
Me too.
If all else is equal, even, and we're doing it this way, just on, well, one has an MVP, they both have MVPs, and neither's been to the Super Bowl, okay, tie goes to the quarterback.
Yeah.
If you even want to make it a tie, which I would not be inclined to, I would give it to Allen. I did realize, though, that Peterson was good longer than I thought he was.
Oh, yeah, he was amazing.
Like he,
and then he came back and was amazing again.
That's what I mean. Well, right, he gets injured, he comes back, and then he's incredible. And he has the 2,000-yard season, and then he has a 1,500-yard season. Then he starts bouncing around the league. And it's journey. Like the bottom of his Pro Football Reference page is ugly to look at because there's so many teams, and there's different years, and you got to – like there's one season where he plays for three different teams, I think. No, two different. New Orleans, Arizona, Tennessee, and Seattle. Who remembers that? He's got – 2 years in Washington at age 33 and 34 with 1,042 yards, 898 yards, 12 total touchdowns, averaging over 4 yards per carry in both of those years at age 33 and 34. And I do not remember that at all. He had a 1,000-yard season with Washington at 34 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, Frank Gore was still playing at that point in time, but that's not an age you ever see running backs playing at all anymore, let alone putting up a 1,000-yard season. So he's definitely impressive. I just don't want to put Allen way above him.
Two bits of soccer news before we get to Extendo Sports. One, Buffalo Pro Soccer has announced they're reopening their site selection process after a decision to not pursue the stadium at Elk and Lee Streets. And we've talked to Peter Marlette Jr. about this project a few times, maybe touch base with him next week. But basically, throughout the process, the red flag about this site was the chemical facility. And all along the way, it was a lot of, they shouldn't pick that spot because of that. Shouldn't pick that spot. Well, they did pick it, and now they're out and seeking another spot. So in terms of what they end up doing, where they end up going, we'll see. But they have reopened their site selection process, and the process still plans to play their inaugural season in 2027. Again, when we talked about this, it was a modular stadium that can be built very quickly. So site selection, you know, hopefully they get something quick. So that's news from the world of Buffalo Pro Soccer.
Yeah.
And then in the Premier League world and the international soccer world, a player that's well-known, Diogo Jota, has died in a car accident. Kind of like shades of Johnny Gaudreau, because it's him and his brother.
Him and his brother are, they're in a car. He's a Liverpool star. His brother plays too. And yeah, like just heartbreak. He's 28 years old. He got married 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He's got three kids, just won the Premier League. You know, they're celebrating, and bam, just the heartbreaking news. And yeah, soccer world is reacting to that this morning. So, fun player too. Like,
how recently was he at Liverpool?
He's been at Liverpool for 5 years.
Okay.
2020, he got there, and he still was an important player for them, winning the title. And again, only 28 years old. Like, he's going to be a long-time Liverpool star. So, horrible. Horrible news. In Spain, that happened.
Yeah.
From Portugal. He's won, like, national career, too. Like, won the Euro with Portugal. So, him and Ronaldo are tight. I saw Ronaldo posting about it this morning. And LeBron posting about it, because he's obviously Liverpool. So,
yeah, I just saw Jurgen Klopp's post about it.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's terrible news. Well, and also, you know, we're coming up on the anniversary of the I was just looking into this, because the Columbus goaltender that died in a fireworks accident a couple of years back.
Yeah.
Hit the chest. His name was Kivlikins. How do you say his name?
He was from Latvia, I think. Yeah. I don't remember.
Coming up on the anniversary of that. Anyway, sad news. On to Extendo Sports when we return, and then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Sabres Prospects Camp scrimmage coming up this morning.
Okay.
Got the hockey players on the old roller skates. You can put the attached things
going
on the blades
across and to the arena.
Skate to the ice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big matchup coming up, the Sabres scrimmage. We'll see if there's any movement through the weekend.
Brent Burns signs in Colorado, 1 year deal.
Somebody texted me that Brent Burns played against Messier.
Yes, he did.
And Messier played against Gordie Howe.
That's literally what I've got for you right now. So, and also, he's the only player I believe left in the NHL that played before the lockout.
Huh?
He played in 2003, which is how you get to this. You can connect the inaugural 1917 NHL season to the 25-26 season through just six players that have either played together or played against each other.
Okay.
Brent Burns to Messier, because he played against Messier, to Gordie Howe, to Hal Jackson, to Wildor Larochel, to George Zvezna.
Wildor Larochel.
Wildor Larochel.
Man, I wanted him at the deadline so bad.
I mean, he, you know, he had an 8-team no trade list, actually, and didn't like the tax rate.
Wildor, huh?
There was a mutant defenseman taken in the CHL import draft yesterday.
Okay.
172nd overall, the Brantford Bulldogs selected 17-year-old defenseman Alexander Karmanov, who stands at 7 foot and weighs 273 pounds. He's committed to Penn State from Moldova.
Stay-at-home defenseman.
Moldova?
Yeah. He is enormous.
Would he be the first player in the NHL from Moldova? I feel like that's possible. 273?
273, 7 foot.
Okay, so this, how old is he?
17.
Would he be done? Is there another couple inches?
I was going to
say, we feel like there's a lot on that frame he could still fill out. Yeah.
Just, you know, he might another inch or two. I'm just saying, like, could he get to 7'2" and then he gets drafted in the NHL just because someone wants to see what they could do with
I've seen some clips of him play too. He can actually like skate. Like he's not Bambi.
Well, I hope
he
can skate a little
bit.
It's
incredible.
One little thing, and by the way, like as we're talking prospects and back to Sabres prospects, they have like no players at this camp. It's lightly attended.
It really is.
And Adams had an answer for that I don't know how it was a diplomatic what, but it was just like, oh yeah, you know, a lot of our guys have been here before. This is kind of to get to know the organization, what it means to be a Sabres. They are light on prospects. And is there another explanation out there as to why?
Uh-huh. I'm sorry. I'm watching videos of this seven-footer go around kids that are, like, way shorter than
him. Is he dangling?
He's skating and moving and stick-handling. Like, yeah, he could, looks like he could play. Look, he's got hands. Watch out, NHL, if he's got hands. Holy.
Anyways. All right. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is on the way. Thanks for listening, texting, tweeting, calling, all that good stuff. Enjoy your holiday weekend. Be safe. And we're back Monday morning. Well, Joe is. I'm on vacation. So have a good time.